Would the young people come and join me this morning?
Alexis,
sometimes we're tempted to do things that we should, that we know we shouldn't do. And you want to know what? We're not like Jesus, and we do sin. But here's the cool thing, and this is what we remember during Lent, is that Jesus helps us to not do the things we shouldn't do. Is that like the coolest thing?
I already know that.
Well, I'm glad you know that. Because there's some people out there that don't know that. Trust me, welcome to my world. Okay? So you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray that we remember. We're going to pray that we always remember. When we're tempted to do something we shouldn't do, that the Lord would help us to not do that thing. Let's bow our heads in prayer, okay? Well, Father God, we know that we are all tempted to do things that we should not do. And we pray that you would remind us to always pray and turn to you so that we would know that you will always help us. And you will help us to avoid, that means keep away from those things that we should not do. And we pray in the name of the one who's going to help us, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Over there are your goodies, and whoever is going to junior church, okay, head out. It's Lent, if you haven't figured that out yet, and it is time to update your resume. And you're part of the workforce of the early 21st century. You hear that a lot, update your resume. Because in the world in which we live, job security is non-existent. Competitive wages for us today might mean a couple of dollars over minimum wage. An advancement or a promotion could very well mean that your reward for all that hard work and good performance will be more work for the same salary. Benefits rarely include 100% paid insurance or retirement fund. Instead, they are kind enough to deduct both of those things from your paycheck every week. And with those kind of incentives, if you have a job, probably you're pretty open to other opportunities. A favorite pastime, they say, of people in the world in which we live is looking at the employment ads in the Sunday newspaper. So keeping your resume up to date is a very high priority today in the world in which we live. If you go to the library or the bookstore, you can find volumes of how to write a good one, a good resume. If you go to the internet, you can get free advice and subscribe to websites that help you piece together what you need to tell a prospective employer in order to get the best job. They say what you should say. They say what you shouldn't say. And you will even discover when you look at those things that you might not have even thought of some of the things that are going to make you a better candidate than the next guy. It's all about salesmanship, it seems. It's about presentation. But it for sure is all about perspective. Because you have to second guess what it is an employer is looking for. Are they going to care that you grew up on a farm and you have a strong work ethic? Or are they rather more interested in the fact that you were president of your senior class and that you were the yearbook editor? You have to figure out what's their perspective. Now, when I was between churches, I was praying what God would have me do with my life. The whole family was praying. And a friend of mine in the Schuylkill School District office forwarded an advertisement for me that was in the paper. It seemed like that Penn State Schuylkill needed a librarian. This is true. She said, "You'd be awesome at this job." I love books. And I'm thinking, how cool. I got excited about the prospect of being a friend to many young adults who probably could really use one. I mean, I was really getting excited about this. I thought it would be an amazing opportunity to serve God by being there for people who were far away from home. Now, for a reference, I put down the very influential owner of a local business who is a friend of John and mine. And lo and behold, all these people applied for the job. I got on the short list with one other person. Well, the university called our influential friend, and the question was asked of him, why do you think that she wants to be a librarian instead of a pastor? And our friend said, and honestly, I couldn't make this up, I'm not sure, but I think she's tired of working so hard. They gave the job to the other person. It is all a matter of perspective. What is someone looking for? In the text from 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul presents a resume of sorts that's written from God's perspective, from God's point of view. And Paul includes many descriptions of his resume that would not impress any prospective employer. Today's resume experts would have a fit with Paul's resume, and they would probably tell him not to include most of what it was he did include. But I just want to suggest that perhaps it's our perspective, our point of view. It's all in who you're trying to impress. Paul sees as having gone through, if we look at verses 4 and 5, great endurance, troubles, hardships and distresses, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, he sees that as having, as those things that qualify him as an authentic Christian. He's proud to present that list before God. And he's proud to present that before fellow believers as signs of his devotion to Christ. You know, if you put that stuff on your resume, I do not think that you will be on a short list anywhere. You will not be at the front of that employment, of that opportunity, employment opportunity. Those are not the kind of things that employers want to see on a resume. Those aren't even the kind of things that congregations want to see in the history of their pastors, or their members for that matter. What good church folk want to see is what is in the next part of Paul's resume, the part that is in verses 6 and 7. Purity, understanding, patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love. Truthful speech, the power of God, weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. Now that's a pastor. Now that's what churches not only want in their pastors, but it's also what they want in the fellow members of their congregations. That is what we want to see in everyone else. Of course, we know that we can't quite include those things in our resumes, at least not as something that's true for us all of the time. But you know, if we think about it, people are reading our resumes all the time. People who know that we are Christians, they are watching us, and they are watching us closely. They're just waiting for us to make a mistake. And we make mistakes all the time. And Paul recognizes this fact when he says in verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. You know, one of my owl stories is about a small boy who was watching his neighbor build a trellis to support a climbing vine. And the boy didn't say anything the whole time he was watching his neighbor build this trellis. The fellow that was building the trellis was a pastor, and he said to the boy, well, son, you know, are you trying to pick up some pointers on gardening? And the little boy said, no, I just want to see what a pastor says when he hits his hand with a hammer. You know, whether we like it or not, our resumes are being read by everyone who meets us. If they know we are Christians, they will read them accordingly. And if they don't know we're Christians, what in the world is wrong with us? As followers of Christ and believers of salvation through faith and grace, we know that our failures are not going to condemn us. Because we know that through the blood of Jesus, when we claimed Him, that we have been forgiven. We have been washed by the blood. But keep in mind that our failures might just end up condemning someone else. Someone who has read our resumes by the way we live and has become totally disillusioned with Christianity. You know, that's exactly what happened to the famous Mahatma Gandhi. I don't know if you know his life story. Do you know that when he was a young man, that he had a lot of interaction with Christian missionaries in India? And through their behavior, he concluded that Christianity was a sham. And the rest of his life, he never trusted a person who said they were a Christian. And he refused to even consider that Christianity was true. Because he said if it was true, it would make a difference in the people who claim to be Christians. We resemble that, don't we? But you know, really, when it comes right down to it, you know, most people don't care about our past shortcomings and failures. People have their own agendas. It takes a lot to rattle people today. I mean, they watch TV. It depends on how we are living our lives in the present. Whether we are living our lives as Holy Spirit regenerated, blood-bought believers. And you know, it might even help the non-Christian relate to us if they find out that not only aren't we perfect, we don't even claim to be. As long as we're living Holy Spirit-led lives in the present. But some of us are so anxious to put our past behind us that we give this perception of being holier than thou, and there is no way we're going to love anybody into the kingdom that way. Well, in his resume, it's obvious that Paul can't leave well enough alone. So he is not afraid to hold anything back. And after listing all those wonderful attributes of his life as a Christian, he then dives back into a whole perspective issue. Because he knows that people are watching, and he knows that people are making judgments on his life, he makes it very clear that there are two points of view when it comes to making an assessment about his life. There is the point of view of the world, meaning those who do not believe in Jesus' saving grace. And there is the point of view of God, who is now judging Paul's life, not through what Paul has done, but through what Jesus has done in Paul, which is a much safer place to be. As Paul puts it, he's looked upon, in verses 8 through 10, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, he says that as Christians we are genuine, yet regarded as imposters. We are known, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, yet we live on. Beaten, yet we are not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, he says, and here's the good part, and yet possessing everything. That's the pièce de résistance, isn't it? From what point of view do you see God? Do you see Him as a harsh judge that is going to zap you in life for all of the wrong you have done? Or do you see Him like a child would see Him? Like a little one who knows they have done something wrong, but also knows that a sincere apology brings forgiveness and grace from a loving dad. And while we're at it, what does your resume say about you? Can you even think of anything that you could write down on a piece of paper that would describe the characteristics of your life that makes you, as a Christian, different from those who are non-believers? Is there anything differentiates your life from the world? Or do you fit in far too well? You know, as human beings, we can choose to see our lives from the perspective of the world. And if that's the choice we make, our resumes are going to be written with a single goal: to live up to the expectation of others. Or, as human beings, we can choose to see our lives from God's perspective. And if that's the choice we make, our resumes are written with endless possibilities. As Christians, the conscious choice that we make is important so that we do not become a stumbling block to others. And if we view our lives from God's perspective, we know there's room for error, because we can always come back to our Father and our Lord and Savior. You know, God looks at our world different than we do. And while God knows the importance of living a life in the shadow of Christ, he was wise enough to know that Jesus had to come into the world so that we could live eternally. Because we never get it right. We never get it all right. But it can be under the blood. And he knows that as high as we set our standards, as complete as our resumes might seem, you know, we are always going to come up short. Because as our Creator, he knows that from dust we were made, and to dust we will return. You know, there's an old story about a minister who survived the Johnstown flood. And he loved to tell the story about how the Lord delivered him from the flood. Just loved it. Historic event. He passed away when he was old and gray. He went home and he was in heaven. And on the very first day, the saints were gathered and they were all sharing their life story. And you might say they were kind of showing their resumes to each other. And this old pastor got so excited and he went to Peter and he says, can you share this story about how he survived the Johnstown flood? And Peter said, yes, you can share that story, but you might want to remember that Noah is going to be there tonight. You know, it's a matter of perspective. During this Lenten season, we need to make a conscious decision to update our resumes. And we need to make sure that we add those elements of our lives that might be missing. And we must make sure that those resumes reflect the one who we claim we serve. And we can include the skills and the characteristics that will humbly lead others to Christ. But really, let's not try to impress anyone with our work history. The only one we need to impress already knows our story. And he sees our lives from the other side of the cross. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we do pray, as it says in your word, that we would not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but that we would see ourselves as blood-bought, redeemed servants, humbly trying to make it through this life without being a stumbling block to the faith of others. We give you permission to intervene in our lives and make it so. But we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ.